Terrible Evils of Two Summers. That's the title of the program we have tonight. Mr. and Mrs. America, that's Elizabeth Cupid Cavalli and me, Lou Cavalli. We've been bringing you this cutting-edge radio program since 2003. We don't pull punches. We give you the hard truth, documented as we find it. Tonight's program is proof of that. The abominations of summer 2023 have only metastasized in late summer 2024. We give you the news straight, like the exploding pagers and cell phones in Lebanon. What we don't give you is the twisting of propaganda to incite hatred of any race, any people. One such broadcaster months back said, quote, "Israel is a garbage dump. Its men, women, and children should be bulldozed into the sea," unquote. Now that same broadcaster said concerning the exploding devices, "The character of the Israeli government and the Israeli people is so degenerate that they could throw out all the rules." What? Calling the ordinary Israeli people, teachers, bus drivers, etc., degenerate is sick. No, ordinary people could never sanction the detonation of these pagers. What a distortion. He dared his Christian listeners to call in saying, quote, "You can't see the truth because you are just like them," unquote. God has also separated us from a so-called Christian broadcaster who one night ranted about, quote, "the ouster of the Jews as God's chosen people," unquote. My colleague Elizabeth recounts how, when in 2024, I think that 2004 or 2005, she saw Orthodox Jews fearfully taking refuge atop a Gaza synagogue on Newsweek's cover, she asked God, "Do you have something to teach me?" The Bible opened to Genesis chapter 17, 7 and 8, which says, "And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee, and to the seed after thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. And I will be their God." Replacement theology means someone like Thomas Jefferson, who cut and pasted the Bible to his own specifications. That people have done that same kind of thing to God, removing passages like Genesis 17, 7 and 8. There is plenty of unspeakable evil to go around in the summers of 2023 and 2024. One does not need to twist the truth or incite hatred, but only document it. Summer 2023, more of the Pizzagate pedophile story broke into the open. And now we have this September 15th, 2024 headline news. Trump blasts Biden-Harris regime for running the largest pedophile ring in history. This was September 15th from the People's Voice.tv. Speaking at a press conference Friday in Los Angeles, Donald Trump blasted the Biden-Harris regime for, quote, "facilitating the largest pedophile ring in history," unquote. And this is me, Lou, speaking. It also looks like the Illuminati's moral warning code is back in place. Just as the movie Lone Gunman seemed to warn and predict the events of 9/11, just so Time Magazine September 30th cover had the headline, "In Trouble," and showed Donald Trump on its cover. The Daily Mail said, "Time Magazine eerily depicted Donald Trump going downhill on a golf course just days before the apparent assassination attempt at his Florida golf course." And we have a picture of that, Trump in a golf cart riding downhill. Then, insane leftist Trump assassin linked to CIA, military-industrial complex, September 16th, 2024, by Kellen McBreen. Some bullet points. Ryan Ruth wrote a book calling for Iran to kill Donald Trump and praised John Kerry. Another point, the deep state stooge has been exposed and the whole country is pissed off. As the internet digs into the background of the man behind Sunday's thwarted assassination attempt on Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump, disturbing connections between the deep state and the would-be shooter are coming to light. Now we have some vaccine news. If true, this one is a real red flag warning. truck company boss blows whistle. Biden-Harris administration transporting monkeypox, make that monkeypox, vaccines, in quotes, nationwide before the election. From News Addicts, September 6th. A trucking company boss has come forward to blow the whistle and reveal that his company has been hired by the Biden-Harris administration to transport monkeypox mRNA so-called vaccines across the country, enough to double-dose every American ahead of the November elections. The business owner issued this warning during a recent episode of the Alex Jones Show on InfoWars. He reached out to Jones to spread awareness, telling the InfoWars founder that the order to distribute the big pharma monkeypox mRNA injections came from top federal officials. And in a related article, Japan warns COVID vaccines are causing global population collapse. From the People's Voice.tv, September 2nd. Japan has issued a dire warning about the mRNA vaccines that were administered globally in late 2020 and declared, quote, safe and effective, unquote. According to Japanese scientists, these vaccines are safely reducing the global population and effectively collapsing populations. Now, UN Pact for the Future, pushing treaty to establish humane 5-year depopulation targets. September 6th, The People's Voice. The United Nations Pact for the Future, set to be approved at the Summit of the Future in New York on September 22nd, cites overpopulation as the most serious risk in the world today, and issues a call for urgent depopulation of the globe. Globalist leaders are now pushing for a new global treaty where countries set population reduction targets every 5 years and work towards them in an effort to reduce the global population. The Pact for the Future also proposes big changes to how the world is governed in response to what the globalist organization is claiming, quote, serious global risks. And in a related article, United Nations advocates for global vaccine passports, digital IDs, and increased censorship. By Kate Stevenson, September 17th, newsaddicts.com. In an alarming development, unelected globalists at the UN are advocating for the implementation of vaccine passports and digital IDs for citizens of sovereign countries. The UN is also pushing for mass censorship online to silence those who disagree with their agenda. These proposals will be discussed at the 79th UN General Assembly, where world leaders will gather in New York to consider granting the UN and its Director General, Antonio Guterres, extensive new powers. The proposed Pact for the Future, part of the UN's Our Common Agenda initiative, includes policies such as digital IDs, control over emergencies like pandemics and climate change, online information flow, and global vaccine compliance. To manage these new policies, the organization is pushing for the establishment of a UN, quote, emergency platform, unquote, and a global digital compact and global proposals on information integrity and transforming education. EU's new vaccine card is a step towards mandatory vaccinations and restrictions on freedom. From the People's Voice, Niamh Harris, August 29th. A pilot project for a new vaccination passport is to be launched shortly in 5 European countries. Indonesia begins rolling out national digital IDs. By Frank Bergman, Slate News, August 31st. The government of Indonesia has begun rolling out digital IDs for the Southeast Asian nation citizens. The move was announced by Indonesia's Minister of Apparatus Utilization and Bureaucratic Reform, Abdullah Azwar Anas. According to Anas, issuing digital IDs is vital for the optimum use of the electronic-based government system. He insists that the new digital-only system will streamline access to integrated government services. While the new digital IDs won't technically be mandatory, they will be required for citizens who wish to access basic services. The world is on the cusp of a profound systemic transformation, says Klaus Schwab. September 17th, Neam Harris, The People's Voice. The World Economic Forum's latest annual report identified a transition into the intelligent age. The rise of misinformation and demographic shifts to an aging world as key factors that are driving a profound systemic transformation. And this is a little I'll interject, but above all else, we're in a spiritual war between God and Satan. This war far supersedes politics and earthly happenings. These are symbols and key personages helping transform our world to evil. And Pope Francis calls for interreligious action to fight climate change. September 6th, Neam Harris, The People's Voice. The Pope signed a joint declaration with Indonesia's Grand Imam, which urges interreligious, quote, unity and harmony, unquote, and warns about, quote, dehumanization and climate change, unquote. As part of his Asian voyage, Pope Francis joined Grand Imam Nasiruddin Umar for what has been called the pinnacle of his stay in Indonesia, the interreligious meeting at Jakarta's Istiqlal Mosque, and the joint signing of a document with Imam Umar. Their declaration calls for joint action between religious leaders to address, quote, two serious crises, dehumanization and climate change, unquote. And then we have Pope Francis. Satanism is a valid pathway to God. September 13th, 2024. Pope Francis has declared that worshiping Satan is a valid pathway to having a relationship with God. According to Francis, quote, every religion is a way to arrive at God, unquote, including Satanism and paganism. Addressing an interreligious meeting of young people in Singapore just before departing for his return flight to Rome, Francis turned to one of the central themes of his pontificate, interreligious dialogue. Infowars.com reports, quote, one of the things that struck me about all of you here is your ability to engage in interreligious dialogue, and this is very important, he told the crowd assembled in Singapore's Catholic Junior College. And now we have former ABC reporter James Gordon Meek, who debunked Pizzagate scandal, pleads guilty to child pornography charges. This was by Ethan Huff, Natural News, August 6, 2023. He infamously declared proudly that he had, quote-unquote, debunked the Pizzagate scandal that the media ultimately dubbed a, quote, conspiracy theory, unquote. Now, former ABC News reporter James Gordon Meek has pleaded guilty to possessing and transporting child pornography, for which he is now serving at least 5 years and up to 40 years in prison. In a related story, after Gordon's home was raided by the FBI last year, left-wing news outlet Rolling Stone ran cover for him by trying to claim that the raid was an abuse of power. Meek, 53, admitted to the court in Virginia that he had and shared child pornography and abuse material. The mandatory minimum sentence for his crimes is 5 years, with up to 40 years being on the table. At the time of the FBI raid, Meek went missing. He was in the process of writing a book about the Biden regime's withdrawal from Afghanistan. Because of the nature of his plea deal, it is unlikely that Meek will have to spend that much time in jail, though. Because of his prominent position and status, he could end up serving very little prison time, perhaps just the 5 years established as a mandatory minimum sentence for child pornography crimes. Meek used to be a respected national security journalist, whom corporate media customers trusted as a valid and trustworthy source for news. In the FBI raid on April 27, 2022, his electronic devices were seized, and he immediately went off the grid. On Meek's phone, authorities found three conversations in which Meek is said to have expressed a strong desire to sexually abuse children. Meek had also received and sent both photos and videos of child pornography. In one especially troubling message, Meek asked someone else in the chat app the following question, followed by a disgusting follow-up statement. And this is in quotes now. Have you ever raped a toddler girl? It's amazing, unquote. Meek allegedly wrote. In another message, Meek allegedly shared a perverted fantasy he has of, quote, abducting, drugging, and raping, unquote, a 12-year-old girl. Keep in mind that the same media sources Meek was affiliated with and worked for are now freaking out about the popularity of the Sound of Freedom film about child trafficking. Are they all upset about this because they, too, are guilty of engaging in sex crimes against children? It is also important to note that there is no evidence whatsoever that Meek in any way debunked the Pizzagate scandal. He claimed to debunk it, but all he did was malign the idea of it publicly, for which the public was expected to just trust and believe his claims. In many ways, Meek made a career out of claiming that accusations of pedophilia in higher offices of American institutions were completely unfounded. It turns out that pedophilia runs rampant at the highest levels of virtually every American institution, including those that claim to protect, and that's in quotes, protect children, or lead them to God, and God is also in quotes. Like Jesus says, it would be better for them if a millstone be placed around their necks and be thrown into the sea than to hurt one little one who believes in him. One commenter wrote about Meek and his kind. He went on to say, when this scum is outed publicly, we are going to see suicides jump dramatically. And another person expressed, if he actually goes to prison, he will have quite the welcoming party. If he isn't killed while there, he will wish he was dead every day. Prisoners don't take kindly to those who abuse children, unquote. Pedophilia is a very serious problem in America, especially the upper echelons of media, religion, and government. Learn more at evil.news.
And Lou and listeners, it couldn't get much more evil than this next also. LifeSite News by Matt Lamb, Monday, August 7th, 2023. Minnesota babies who survive abortions no longer entitled to life-saving medical care. Minnesota abortion reporting forms no longer must note whether the abortion resulted in a born alive infant or, quote, any medical actions taken to preserve the life of the born alive infant. Minnesota, LifeSite News. Babies who survive abortions will no longer be counted under a new Minnesota pro-abortion law that is now in effect. Babies who survive abortion also have fewer rights after the state's Democratic leaders passed the legislation, in effect as of August 1st, that lessens the medical care requirements for those infants. The new law removed a requirement that abortion reporting forms include information on, quote, whether the abortion resulted in a born alive infant, end of quote, quote, any medical actions taken to preserve the life of the born alive infant, end of quote, quote, whether the born alive infant survived, end of quote, and, quote, the status of the born alive infant should the infant survive, end of quote. The law also changes the, quote, reasonable measures requirement to say that, quote, medical personnel should provide, quote, care for the infant who is born alive, end of quote. There is no longer a requirement to, quote, preserve the life and health of the born alive infant, end of quote. Minnesota Citizens Concern for Life, MCCL, criticized the change in an August statement. That was August 1st. Minnesota lawmakers, and this is a quote, have revoked basic protection for newborn babies, and now the fate of newborns who survive abortion will be hidden from the public. MCCL, and again, that is Minnesota Citizens Concern for Life, co-executive director Kathy Blazer stated, why do lawmakers want to keep us in the dark? This appalling extremism is not what Minnesotans ask for. Our elected officials must restore protection for newborns who are at risk. Quote, in recent years, 5 born alive infants were reported in 2015, 5 in 2016, 3 in 2017, 3 in 2018, 3 in 2019, and 5 in 2021, according to the Minnesota Department of Health. This information will no longer be available, the group noted. And this is Elizabeth. Oh, Lou, the millstone is getting closer and closer and heavier and heavier. Even if there were 3, if there were 5, if there was 1, these souls, these little tiny baby souls, are precious to our Lord. And the fury cannot be imagined that will come, don't you think?
Oh, I think that's the hottest place in hell, if there is such a thing, will be reserved for that kind of person.
Yes, an echo of what's on earth that you read, that in the prisons, even hardened criminals, maybe even murderers of adults, they won't tolerate these people who have done these things to children. And especially this, the actual infanticide is what it is. So next in that article there is that headline, Democratic Party Embraces Infanticide. The change in the law is part of a trend of Democratic Party leaders embracing legalized infanticide as an official agenda item. Lou, remember when they lit up New York with this? They had that law to kill the living baby. Do you remember, was it the whatever the tower is that's there now? Do you remember what was lit up?
I might have been the Empire State Building.
I think you're right.
Think it was.
I believe that's what it was. There's so much evil, and with all of these flags of allegiance to Satan, including that LGBTQ rainbow flag that flew above the White House in Pride Month with the subservient American flags, 2 of them on the left and right of it, it's hard to keep track, isn't it?
Very hard, yes. There's so much going on. It's
so evil.
So much evil, just impossible to even...
To remember
to really
it, even.
Think of it.
Yes. So the article continues, the use of the ambiguous word care reflects the comments by former Democratic Virginia Governor Ralph Northam, who infamously appeared to endorse infanticide. When asked in 2019 about a radical bill that would allow abortions 1 second before a baby was born, Governor Northam reflected on his own experience as a pediatrician. Quote, so in this particular example, if the mother is in labor, I can tell you exactly what would happen. The infant would be delivered. The infant would be kept comfortable. The infant would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and the family desire. And then a discussion would ensue between the physician and the mother, Northam stated. Other, Lou, that place in hell is getting hotter and hotter for some people.
Sure is.
Other Democratic leaders have also taken the official position that abortion should be available through all 9 months of pregnancy without any limits at taxpayer expense. Governor J.B. Pritzker of Illinois signed legislation to allow abortions up until the moment of birth. He also wants this enshrined into the state constitution. As previously reported by LifeSite News, Illinois is the place where then-state Senator Barack Obama voted, quote, present in the state legislature on a bill to require basic care for babies who survived abortions. Did you get that, listeners? He voted present with a smirk, I add. He's not smirking so much now that something was found in his swimming pool there in Martha's Vineyard, is he? Because
no.
God sees everything, and God will judge. God will select those who go to heaven and those who go to hell. The article says it is also where nurse and pro-life activist Jill Stanek testified that babies were left to die after, quote, live birth abortions.
Now, from the life of
now,
life
that we're not
oh,
done.
Excuse me.
Arizona Governor Katie Hobbs, I wish we were done. Arizona Governor Katie Hobbs, a Democrat, vetoed common sense legislation that would protect babies who are born alive during abortions. See, it's not just one state, is it?
No. Many states.
No, it's American Babylon. It's a hell on earth that we've become here. And no wonder we have NIH and DOD going over there to Australia and setting up the template for taking those little children possibly into the bank center there in Sydney to vaccinate all of them, and definitely setting up the template for the quarantine camps in Australia. No, we are beset by evil. And you haven't heard, Lou, have you, that Rand Paul or Ron Johnson really hit the news this week with demands that gain-of-function testing stop? Did you hear that?
No, not a word.
You didn't hear that, did you? I didn't either. I think maybe we failed to turn on the TV. We failed to get Fox or CNN, but probably they had something like that. Well, back to the article. In her April veto message, this leftist governor, and that's Katie Hobbs of Arizona, claimed the bill was uniformly opposed by the medical community and interferes with the relationship between a patient and doctor. It's simply not the state's role to make such difficult medical decisions for patients. Now, we have to interject. If we won't stand up for these little ones, if we let this infanticide go on, they're going to be coming for us. Remember that famous quote in World War II, one of the theologians, Lou, do you remember which one? I'm not certain right now.
Martin Niemöller.
I think it was Niemöller, the first that came for one population. And he said it wasn't him, so he didn't bother. Then next they came for someone else. They came for the Jews. He wasn't a Jew. He didn't bother. But when they came for him, there was nobody left. Now, I'm going to just say, where are the people in Arizona to be watching this, that their governor, Katie Hobbs, vetoed legislation that would protect babies who are born? Well, we also know now that there are plans for one of those 15-minute cities. Where? Tucson. Why, my goodness, that's Arizona. Isn't it like a boomerang, listeners? Those who refuse to choose the good, those who harass their family members because they're choosing to stand for Christ, they're choosing to tell the truth about the COVID vaccines harming children and other people, those people also will pay a price. Only Jesus knows if they won't repent. And of course, if you have those family members, you continue to pray that they will repent, and you continue to love them, but you put some distance, because you also know that Jesus does not want you to be chewed up alive by people who are ruled by Satan. My late father said to me one time, with his wonderful Irish, Western Pennsylvania farmer, and really like a politician in a way, because he was a leader in his community with everything, single-handedly he produced a centennial celebration for the little town. And he brought people in from KDKA TV. He had a beauty contest. He had parades. He did this because he was a leader and he cared about people. But he was also wise. And he taught me how to deal with the enemy in many ways. And one enemy of all of us is that Satan would like to break us. He likes to break marriages. He likes to cause anguish between parents and children. And some of this anguish now is these children who won't honor their parents, who warn them about the shots. My father said this. He said, well, Elizabeth, you can love a person like that, but not too much. And I now know very well what he meant, because he was one of the most compassionate, loving Christians I ever met. And that doesn't mean he didn't fail sometimes. We all do. We can make terrible mistakes, but then we repent. But it means that your first allegiance is not to a family member. It is to Jesus Christ. And then you hand over to him these unbearable, intolerable situations that you cannot solve as a human being, because there are these dark spiritual forces involved. And until those people want to repent, they will remain willfully in the reprobate mind. Lou, do you have anything to add to that?
Well, Jess and I recall the words of Jesus himself saying, woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe unto that man by whom the offense cometh. And yes, your father was one in a thousand. He was a wonderful guy, and he put Jesus Christ first. And that's what we all need to do.
Yes, and I liked your scripture, and it means, doesn't it also mean that we are not to bite back to these family members or these people? We are not to hate them. We are not to cause an offense. We are to keep love in our hearts, but give the situation to Christ and then take our focus off it so that we can be used for Jesus. Isn't that what you think?
Yes, I think that's right. We can't afford in this life to spend all our time on one task that God has given us. There are so many tasks ahead that if one isn't working, we need to sweep it off our feet and just go on to something else.
Yes, that's true. And if people are interfering with our work for Jesus, we cannot make them first. We can love them. We can do what we should do with our families. Well, now, back to this, we got the rundown there of Katie Hobbs, that she's back of this. She vetoed this legislation that would protect the babies, and we mentioned the 15-minute city that they're trying to get, possibly in Tucson. We've heard that there's something in Fort Collins. So be alerted. This program that Lou and I have provided since 2003, yes, we're so grateful in the last several years since Captain Darrell Everhart pleaded with all of you to help us. In about the year 2016 or 2017, you've been helping us, and it's a great relief. We still owe $36,000. Last year, we owed $70,000. Almost all of that was from our radio work debt from the year 2003 onwards. So we are doing this not to become rich, not to become famous. We're doing it because God has called us to warn you. According to Ezekiel 33, and the best that we can when we hear things in your food, about other things, danger coming spiritually, physically, politically, we must warn you, and we feel good about it. If we can help save even one of these little babies, then we have not lived in vain. Isn't that right, Lou?
That's exactly right.
Now, back to California Governor Gavin Newsom. He signed legislation in September 2022 that could be interpreted to decriminalize infanticide, according to pro-life experts. Now, let's move right on to you, Lou.
Now we hear from LifeSide News. United Church of Christ issues a resolution declaring abortion is health care. And we'll just comment before we get to the article. The Christian Church is now, in some denominations, about equivalent to the devilish Davos or UN agendas. This was from Gene Mondoro at LifeSite News, Monday, July 24th. Barely a year after the historic overturning of Roe v. Wade, a liberal denomination of mainline Protestants declared that abortion is, quote, health care, unquote, and called for the right to kill the unborn. The United Church of Christ, UCC, passed a resolution earlier this month titled, quote, denouncing the Dobbs decision and proclaiming abortion as health care, unquote, as part of its 34th General Synod, which takes place every 2 years. According to a July 10th press release.
Now, Lou, that's
yes,
Synod.
Synod, excuse me.
Synod.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
According to a July 10th press release from the...
I want to interrupt.
Yes.
Because we really have this game with each other, and sometimes I'm right, sometimes I'm wrong.
That's true.
But we have a lot of fun looking up words. I like to read Regency-era books, and that was a kind of good Britain where the men and the women were still honoring Jesus in many ways, many of them. And I think in that period, hadn't the slaving pretty much ended, like the ships that, you know, did the slavery?
Yes, I think that was declared illegal in
the United
States.
So, see, there was still a lot of good there. But at any rate, there are a lot of old words that we're never sure about. For instance, B-A-D-E, like he bade someone farewell. I think that I had heard some people pronounce it bade, but we looked it up, and it is bad. The past tense, he bade them farewell. So we have a lot of fun correcting each other, so don't think that I'm always on Lou's back. He's on mine sometimes because sometimes I'm the one. And we like to do it. We like to know the English because that's something that's being taken away from our children in schools. They aren't taught cursive anymore, and that really galls both of us. It's the niceties of civilization. But where are we? We're in an unspeakable horror when we are legitimizing infanticide and when this Church of Christ calls abortion health care. Oh, Lou, tell us more.
According to the July 10th press release from the religious community, quote, The resolution passed with a vote of 611 in favor, only 24 against, 13 abstaining. The resolution, and this is in quotes, the resolution denounces the overturning of legal precedent in the U.S. Supreme Court's decision Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization. It condemns all laws banning abortion or restricting access to reproductive health services. And the author of this article is, in parentheses, sick, S-I-C, which just means that is a misnomer to call it reproductive health services. Reverend Dakota Roberts, the committee chair, said that, quote, as sanctuary churches house refugees and immigrants from deportation, so now too the Church of Christ, United Church of Christ, encourages churches to love, support, and exist as a sanctuary for individuals seeking access to safe abortions. The resolution argues that Mary's informed, joyful choice to bear a child is the first act of Christian discipleship, and that forced birth is an act of sexual violence, and I should say, and that forced birth is an act of sexual violence antithetical to the incarnation, and the choice to have and care for children is a sacred decision which should not be forced upon anyone, unquote. The morality of peaceful protest, quote, including civil disobedience, unquote, is condoned by the group, which also, quote, calls upon the national study of the United Church of Christ and the conferences to explore and pursue all avenues for legal challenges to abortion bans, unquote. A bail fund for members of the religious community that are arrested for protesting legislation to protect the unborn, gathering money to fund out-of-state abortions for participants in UCC, medical benefits and expanding sex education programs to promote contraception are other actions mentioned in the resolution. And this is me speaking. This is Lou. This isn't just agreeing with policy. What real true Christian could ever gather money to fund out-of-state abortions? Back to the article. Additionally, the document outlines encouragement for, quote, local churches, associations, and conferences to physically, financially, and spiritually accompany people seeking abortions and other reproductive health care in partnership with local health agencies and abortion funds, unquote. The group also argues biblical, this is in quotes, biblical, theological, and historical grounding, unquote, for its support of abortion on demand, including verses from Proverbs about standing up for the poor and defending justice. Citing the parable of the Good Samaritan in the Gospel of Luke, the resolution declares that, quote, we who follow the teachings of Jesus know we must not pass by on the other side when those who can get pregnant are so unjustly treated by the denial of needed reproductive care, unquote. In 2017, LifeSite News reported that the UCC supported federal funding for abortion, opposing a repeal of Obamacare. The religious community's resolution comes amid a growing push to promote abortion on demand, as well as contraception within state boundaries and from the federal government. The ruthlessly pro-abortion Biden administration recently continued with its plan to amend the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act, or HIPAA, and potentially undermine the dozens of laws that have been passed since Roe's reversal, saving thousands of innocent lives. An official within the National Security Council said last week that abortion access for members of the United States military is a, quote, sacred obligation, unquote. The nation's Food and Drug Administration, FDA, has also approved the first over-the-counter birth control pill, enabling the drug to be legally sold without a prescription and with no age limit.
And we have to interject there, Lou. That's Mifepristone, and we've read earlier articles that these poor women may be getting side effects that are horrible, bleeding, and they may die there alone in their home with no medical help because of this. Go ahead.
Yes. Beyond the administration, abortion and contraception are promoted in American culture. Abortion giant Planned Parenthood is reportedly paying teenagers to participate in a, quote, sex ed summer camp, unquote, while dozens of universities across the country are installing Plan B vending machines on campus.
And, Lou, then we have from, I guess this is the People's Voice, July 29th, UN calls for urgent coordinated depopulation. Global boiling means we need less souls on Earth. The United Nations has unveiled a new excuse to drastically reduce the Earth's population and mandate their most radical green agenda to date, global boiling. And then we have to wonder, in view of the articles we brought you so far, whether we're under God's judgment. We then have this headline, and I believe this is from the Daily Mail, and this was July 31st. Florida is experiencing an increase in leprosy cases, with nearly 20% of cases across the country coming from the center of the state. Central Florida accounts for 81% of cases reported in the state. Florida has seen a huge surge in leprosy cases, with rising evidence suggesting the disease is becoming endemic in the southeastern United States. Leprosy, which is scientifically known as Hansen's disease, is a chronic infectious disease that primarily affects the skin and peripheral nervous system. The number of reported leprosy cases in the southeastern states has more than doubled over the past decade. According to the CDC, Florida is witnessing an increase in leprosy cases lacking traditional risk factors, the body added. It noted that Central Florida accounts for 81% of cases reported in the state and almost one-fifth of cases reported nationally. And then we have this headline, Biden's new CDC chief pushes annual COVID jabs. And, of course, this was the people's voice again. The new CDC chief, Dr. Mandy Cohen, has declared that the COVID, quote, vaccines are expected to become annual, just like the flu shots. Cohen has already been blasted over her support for strict mandates and lockdowns during the pandemic, and Dr. Peter McCullough has warned that Cohen, this is a quote, appears to be fully entrenched in the biopharmaceutical complex. Some critics have also questioned her ties to the Gates Foundation and the World Economic Foundation.
Next, we have Dr. McCullough says Jamie Foxx contacted him post-COVID jab, and he urges the actor to speak out publicly. This was from Natural News, July 27th, by Ethan Huff. It is clear from what has transpired and come to light that actor and comedian Jamie Foxx was, in fact, seriously injured by Wuhan coronavirus, that is COVID-19, so-called vaccines. And Dr. Peter McCullough, the world's leading COVID expert and jab critic, wants Foxx to come clean publicly for the benefit of others. Foxx developed a serious blood clot in his brain that, by all appearances, was caused by his having to get injected for COVID as a condition for participating in Hollywood. In a related article, check out our earlier coverage about the events leading up to Foxx's coerced decision to get jabbed for COVID in order to act in a movie. Going on, Hollywood journalist A.J. Benzer famously came forward to state that Foxx allegedly suffered partial paralysis and blindness, along with other complications, as a direct result of his getting jabbed for the Fauci flu. And Benzer said in his interview with Dr. Drew Pinsky, quote, Jamie had a blood clot in his brain after he got the shot. He did not want the shot, but the movie he was on, he was pressured to get it, unquote. And Foxx says he isn't blind and didn't become paralyzed, but did, quote, go to hell and back.
Next, LifeSite News, Wednesday, June 14th, by Stephen Cox. Excuse me, I have to look at that one again. I believe that is right. Homosexual atheist WEF, and that's World Economic Forum advisor, suggests AI, and that's artificial intelligence, will write new Bible, found correct religions. Yuval Noah Harari is notorious for holding a variety of bizarre views that attack the core tenets of Christianity. Lisbon, LifeSite News. World Economic Forum WEF senior advisor Yuval Noah Harari has made the stunning claim that in the not-too-distant future, artificial intelligence may create a correct world religion. Quote, throughout history, religions, dreamt about having a book written by a superhuman intelligence, a non-human entity, he said. In a few years, there might be religions that are actually correct. Just think about a religion whose holy book is written by an AI. That could be a reality in a few years. Harari is a 47-year-old homosexual atheist Jew. A transhumanist philosopher and popular author, he teaches at the Hebrew University in Jerusalem, while also serving as one of Klaus Schwab's closest confidants. During an interview in August 2022, he disturbingly remarked that the world no longer needs the, quote, vast majority of, quote, useless workers displaced by technological advances. Harari made his shocking prediction about AI-generated religions while speaking with Portuguese-American journalist Pedro Pinto in Lisbon, Portugal, in May at an event on the future of humanity. He suggested to Pinto that the Bible had not been sufficiently scrutinized. Quote, Gutenberg printed the Bible in the middle of the 15th century. The printing press printed as many copies of the Bible as Gutenberg instructed it, but it did not create a single new page. It had no ideas of its own about the Bible. Is it good? Is it bad? How to interpret this? How to interpret that? AI can create new ideas. It can even write a new Bible. Every religion, he continued, claims, oh, the books of the other religions, humans wrote them, but our book, no, 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 it came from some superhuman intelligence. And now it says that Harari holds a variety of bizarre views that attack the core tenets of Christianity. In recent years, he has said that Homo sapiens are a post-truth species. He has also remarked that humans are no longer mysterious souls, but merely hackable animals. The subject of artificial intelligence was the primary focus of this year's Bilderberg meeting, also held in Lisbon in May. Approximately 130 political and business leaders attended the secretive gathering, including OpenAI CEO Sam Altman, Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella, and Google CEO Eric Schmidt. It is not readily known if Harari was present. Several industry leaders have expressed grave concerns with artificial intelligence, including Harari himself. AI, quote, has the potential of civilization destruction. Twitter CEO Elon Musk said, quote, it is hard to see how you can prevent the bad actors from using AI for bad things. Dr. Jeffrey Hinton, a pioneer in the field, warned the New York Times in May.
The story from June didn't get enough attention, it seems. For now in August, after all the suspicious fires in Canada and Maui, along with the last 2 years of destroyed chickens, pigs, and cattle, the thousands we have to check, this out. Were the beautiful thoroughbred horses of our dreams not even exempt from the murderous climate fanatics? Here's the headline, claim. Wireless monitors accused of killing Churchill Downs racehorses. Report. This was Wednesday, June 14th, 2023, by Ethan Huff. This year's Kentucky Derby at Churchill Downs in Louisville was a disaster due to new electronic radiation, EMF-emitting devices that racehorses are now being forced to wear, according to published claims. Several horses dropped dead for no apparent reason. Now that Stride Safe, that's the name of it, StrideSafe wireless monitors, as they are called, are being installed on the backs of all the racehorses to monitor their movements. According to reports, StrideSafe wireless monitors are, quote, shaped like an iPhone, unquote, and fit into the cloth underneath the saddle on the horse's back. They can track a horse's movements up to 2,400 times per second throughout a race, sending 2,400 pulses of radio frequency, RF, radiation every second through the body of the horse. And here we have a quote, an explanation by Mark Crispin Miller, writing for his News from Underground Substack blog. Quote, it also contains a GPS component that communicates with global positioning satellites. And it also communicates with the RFID chip implanted in the left side of every horse's neck, ensuring that the chip also emits radiation throughout the race. And we have a related article, could be looked up. The United States Cattlemen's Association recently launched a special task force to address the latest threat of mRNA vaccine poison in meat and dairy. Back to this article, racehorse shoes made from aluminum, one of the best conductors for RF radiation. That's the subtitle. It should also be noted that every racehorse at the Kentucky Derby wears horseshoes made from aluminum, which Miller says is, quote, one of the best conductors for RF radiation, unquote, to surge through the horse's body. And he went on to say, the frequencies that are conducted from both the stride safe device and the RFID chip throughout the horse's body are absorbed and re-radiated by its four shoes. Each horse then carries not one, but six continuously radiating antennas throughout each race at Churchill Downs. So with 14 horses normally competing in each race, there are 84 antennas among animals in close proximity to one another, running around the track, unquote. On April 29th, 2023, numerous horses at Churchill Downs died or suffered severe injuries requiring them to be euthanized. So many horses died, in fact, that it was announced on June 2nd that the spring meet at the Downs will be suspended as of June 10th. The largest number of horses ever died this year. The same year, stride-safe monitoring devices were attached to the horses' backs. Coincidence? Hardly. And Miller goes on to explain, officials at Churchill Downs are panicked because horses racing there have died in much larger numbers this spring than ever before. In 2022, nationwide, about 1.25 deaths occurred for every 1,000 horses starting at the gate. But since April 29th, 2023, 12 deaths have occurred among just 1,600 starts at Churchill Downs, a sudden and unprecedented eightfold increase in racehorse mortality, end unquote. After an investigation, officials discovered that the only thing that changed about the race this year compared to last was the addition of stride-safe monitoring devices. And Miller says, we have known for decades that horses' lives are shattered by radio waves. And he added that this has been known since at least 1998, when racehorse trainer Penny Hargraves participated in an interview about the subject. Hargraves' 90 horses had to be relocated at that time after an FM radio tower was installed near her property, resulting in all of the horses being negatively affected and two dying. And this is a quote from her, from Penny. They were very nervous and jumpy. They all seemed to have sore feet. Horses who had traveled by trailer for years were losing balance while traveling, unquote. Miller attempted to reach out to Dr. Jennifer Durenberger, a veterinarian director of equine safety and welfare at the Horse Racing Integrity and Safety Authority, HISA, about the stride safe devices. As of this writing, she has not yet responded to him.
And, Alu, we can see the trend toward evil everywhere, and we look to these church leaders, but there we have that United Church of Christ, what's going on there. And now in our series, The Occult Masters, we're getting into the Vatican, and we'll get into more of it next week along with our news blitz. But this was from SkyWatchTV.com, April 20th, 2023. A new Pachamama mass. The new Pope approved Mayan rites in Mexico. These are immersed in polytheism. The earth, the sun, the moon, and animals are all regarded as being gods. By animism, belief that objects and creatures have a soul. By the belief in communication with one's ancestors, and even worshiping them. And by human sacrifice, to include women and children as part of its worship. As we shall show, many of these idolatrous elements will be included in this new rite of mass. And this is Elizabeth now, the occult role of the Vatican. And yes, as we said, we've been looking at the occult underpinnings of organizations like the Club of Rome, the Bilderberg Group, the World Economic Forum, Bohemian Grove, and now this look at the Vatican itself that we're going to get into more of it next week. And so as brief as this look was, it is shocking. And we can now look for a little good in an unexpected corner about this abortion business resurging. LifeSite News, May 23rd of this year, had this headline, comedian Roseanne Barr condemns abortion as barbaric, recounts choosing life as a pregnant teen. American actress and comedian Roseanne Barr recently condemned abortion as barbaric, revealing her choice for life after becoming pregnant at 18. During a May 17th episode of The Megyn Kelly Show, Barr recounted her decision to choose life when she became pregnant at 18 and decided to give her daughter up for adoption rather than abort her. Quote, "It really makes me mad when they say women have the right to choose, and then the choice they're talking about is that something so barbaric," Rhett Barr told show host Megyn Kelly. Kelly asked Barr if she had considered abortion when she discovered her pregnancy, but Barr responded, "That's not for me. I have five kids, and I'm grateful I had them all." Well, she acknowledged that giving her daughter up, facing an unknown future, was immensely difficult. Barr declared that choosing abortion was, quote, "not for me." A lot of young girls, 18 years old, would have made a different decision, would have chosen an abortion instead of to carry the baby to term and give it up, which you know is going to be emotionally tough for you. Even though Barr determined to give her daughter up for adoption, she still wanted to be a part of her life when she grew up. According to Barr, when her daughter was born, one of her ears was misshapen like her maternal grandmother's. "I thought, oh, God made her ear like that, so I'll be able to find her," Barr said. "I got to keep her for 2 days, and I told her, I'll see you again when you're 18. Barr chose to keep her television name, Roseanne Barr, since that was the name on her daughter's birth certificate, and she hoped it would help her daughter to find her when she was older. Quote, "I always trusted in my life. I've always trusted God, and I knew that I got that feeling that I would see her, and that I felt that feeling was from my prayers being answered my whole life," she said. When Barr and her daughter were reunited 17 years later, she felt like we just knew each other for all those years. Speaking of her daughter, Barr shared, quote, "She turned 52 yesterday, and I'm very proud of her. She's a wonderful woman. She has a wonderful son, Ari Rubin, who I am very proud of. He won the state championship in chess in Colorado," she added. "He's only 16. But he won the state championship in chess. That's how smart he is." And you know, Lou, sometimes we prejudge people as being really terrible people, some of the celebrities. And, you know, you and I didn't agree with everything on that comedy show she was in. But this is really heartening to see that God can come into people, and there are people of decency and character. Some you never would have suspected. You would have never suspected that she kept her name so that she could find that child later, and that she looked at that ear, that little insignia from the ancestors. That's it. We do owe Jesus the love of our family heritage. And Lou and I are definitely opposed to cremation for that reason. You want to be able to have your descendants be able to go in 100 years and look at this cemetery and think about you. Who were you? What did you live for? Do you live for Jesus Christ? Will you take a stand? Will you tell others to go to DividedKingdomRadio.com? We hope and pray you will be led to do that. Good night.